I had the great fortune, I can't remember now, it might have been Bob Proctor, but someone big in my life sent me the book Unstoppable. And it was at a time in my life when I really needed to read that book. And all those phenomenal stories, and many of you have heard me recount the story of Maxie Fowler, and there's so many, many great stories in there. Well, this is the lady who came up with the idea that the world needed to know about those people. So what is the secret to being unstoppable? This lady that we have the great fortune to introduce you tonight, Cynthia Kersey, knows. She spent more than a decade researching and interviewing some of the world's most successful people. And you can read about everyday people in Unstoppable, but there's some super successful people, well-known people as well, like Millard Fuller, who founded Habitat for Humanity. She's written two books, and she's got a tremendous coaching program. We had the good fortune back at the first of the year to introduce some people to her coaching program. She's coached Fortune 500 companies. She's coached entrepreneurial companies. You know, she knows how to get people unstuck on their goals and get them headed in the right direction. She is a leading, and I mean she's one of the very best in the country at getting people to perform at their very best. She's helped thousands of people literally become unstoppable. She's a business owner. She's a national columnist. In 2001, she was the Entrepreneur of the Year as selected by the National Foundation of Female Legislators, and she's been on countless radio and television shows. You probably remember seeing her on Oprah Winfrey. So without any further ado, I want to welcome to the call my good friend Cynthia Kersey. Cynthia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Vic, for having me.
Oh, I am so excited. You don't know, because I know, can tell by the crowd that we've got on tonight, there are a lot of people that really want the message that you've come to deliver. And, you know, what I'd like to kind of start out with, Cynthia, is, you know, you're an expert on helping people become unstoppable. I love the way you, whenever Cynthia calls you, she says, "Is this the unstoppable Vic Johnson?" You know, and I can tell you guys, when I answer that call, no matter how I feel, I'm immediately empowered. So it's amazing how she carries it through in everything that she does. She really lives and walks her talk. Her first, you know, your first book was a bestseller. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It's been translated in 14 languages, and it's, you know, it's been touted as this generation's Think and Grow Rich. What exactly does it mean when you say unstoppable?
Well, thank you, Vic. You know, it's interesting because I think in the collective consciousness of people, we think of an unstoppable person as this superhuman. You know, and they just barrel through the brick walls and nothing gets them down and they just keep on going. And what I really found is unstoppable people are just like you and me. They get discouraged. They have challenges. They have setbacks. They get rejected. And yet they don't let it define them and they don't stop them. And every time they stay in action instead of this big, huge vision, right, of this superhuman, it's an average person, a normal person, who takes a single step forward every day towards their goal. And that step is what I call an unstoppable moment. And to live an unstoppable life, just like all the amazing people that you were talking about in my book, the way they did it is by creating a series of these unstoppable moments. And I feel like that's such a doable concept because everybody's already creating countless unstoppable moments in their lives. And so I feel encouraged whenever I speak about this topic. You know, I encourage people that we don't have to be a superhuman. We don't have to be born with the silver spoon. It really is an opportunity for everyone who has the courage to not only dream, but to get into action on that dream. And basically, in my first book, too, Vic, I identified 7 characteristics of unstoppable people. And so the first book I really looked at, how do I identify a purpose? What drives people? They're driven by a purpose, a passion. They believe in themselves. they create a plan. They're prepared. They know how to build a team. They know how to get past problems, creatively solve problems, and persevere. And so the book's done really well, and I coached a lot of people through that process. And one thing I noticed is that people can get enthusiastic. They can identify what the goal is, but the real challenge for most people is getting into action. Have you experienced this with people? Yeah. I mean, that's always a challenge. You hear people, they want to lose weight, or as Bob would say, release weight, or, you know, they want to make money, or they want to write a book. But Monday morning happens, and they wake up to something called a life. And the question is, you know, how do you fit sleep into the schedule, much less another thing on the to-do list? And so what I found is that people get stuck with three primary areas. And if you address these areas, you really can create a breakthrough in your life. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But because of the information and all the coaching that I did, I came out with the next book, which is Unstoppable Women and the Unstoppable Challenge, the 30-day challenge, which is how do you get people to actually get into action, to find that goal, something that excites them, something that invigorates them, break it down into something that would be doable. One thing I found, Vic, too, is to make any change in your life, what happens is people, they try to do too many things at once. You know, maybe especially the first of the year, you know, a lot of people, they'll have these New Year's resolutions and they've got 10, 15 things on the list. And of course, the first week comes and they're so busy that most of the goals are already finished before they even begin, right? They're history. And so research has found the most effective way to make change in your life is to focus on one thing. And start creating some momentum, especially in an area that you're stuck in. So if you want to take your exercise to a whole new level, but you're out there exercising it all the time, you don't need this process for that. This is for an area of your life where you need some support. You've tried it before, and for some reason, you haven't been able to get yourself to take consistent action in your life. Have you ever experienced that in your life, Vic?
Oh, absolutely.
What is an area that you found that you had a struggle in really overcoming or getting into action to change?
It would be easier to say which ones I haven't had.
That's a shorter conversation.
I mean, literally in every one. I think what has helped me actually probably be able to work with people is the fact that I've already experienced the very same obstacles and challenges, and I've been stuck exactly where most people are in everything, whether it's fitness or whether it's relationships. You know, I've been bankrupt spiritually. I've been, probably at the bottom of the of all feelings or whatever in just about every area of my life. So, mm-hmm. You know, I can relate.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
Well, I'll tell you. First off, I really acknowledge and appreciate that answer, because that's the truth. That is a very human experience. We all experience these things. So even if Vic Johnson is experiencing this, you know, take some consolation from that, because everybody does. I actually had a call with Bob Proctor last night, and I asked him the same question. I said, you know, years ago when you started moving forward, when you had this breakthrough in your income, I said, did you notice yourself sabotaging yourself because you're making this big, huge shift and you're still living with the old paradigm? And he said, absolutely. And he even said, even with The Secret, this is Bob. I mean, Bob's been teaching the law of attraction and the laws of the universe, you know, for 30 years. He's certainly done it as long as I've known him, and I've known him over 10 years. And he said that he still has thoughts that come up even regarding this and all of the amazing success, but he doesn't dwell on it. And so there's some very specific things that I'm going to share with you tonight that are really exciting and can make such a difference in getting unstuck and what I call stopping the quitting cycle. The quitting cycle happens, we get excited, we get into action, something happens, whether we get rejected or the proposal's turned down or, you know, the husband leaves us or something happens where we get really, the wind is knocked out of our sails. And the result of that is we make it mean game over. And that's the quitting cycle, whether you start on a fitness program, a week into it, you go completely off of your program, and then you make it mean, you know, I've never been able to do this in the past. I'm so undisciplined. Why try? And there people are stuck over and over and over. So these particular areas must be addressed. And the first area is in beliefs. Our beliefs, and I know that, you know, you hear about this all the time, but I'm telling you, it can't be underestimated. I am constantly working to expand my beliefs. If I want to move into something different for my life, my beliefs have to expand. I don't care what I've accomplished. It's constantly expanding it, because or I'll stay stuck. So our beliefs have to reflect our new possibility, what we want to do. Now, how can you tell what your beliefs are? The best way to look at, to identify what your current belief system is just to see what are the results that you're creating in your life right now. That's a really good indicator. So it's real important that if you're in an area, let's say in fitness, let's say you're really you're overweight, or you're really not working out, you're not as healthy as you'd like, you don't feel as invigorated as you would like to. So you've got some beliefs that are supporting how you're feeling right now. Vic, you actually promoted this. I did my Unstoppable Weight Loss Challenge. And I have several people. We're in our 13th week. And these people are on fire. They were stuck. They actually thought, you know, for 20 years they'd been overweight. They gained and lost weight so many times they lost track. And they felt like, you know what, I'm going to give this one last shot. And by going through this process, I've had people who've lost, you know, 25 pounds. They're exercising every single day. They're doing things. They have pants on that they purchased when they were married. I mean, amazing things are happening for these people. And one of the key things that shifted for them was their belief. A great story about this is Michelle Hoskins. Michelle Hoskins was a small manufacturer in Chicago, and she made her great-great-great-grandmother's honey cream syrup. That's what she did for a living, and she manufactured and distributed this syrup to some local stores and restaurants. And she got this dream. She thought, you know, I could just see my great-great-great-grandmother's honey cream syrup on every table at Denny's restaurants nationwide. Now, Denny's restaurants have 1,700 restaurants. This is not a little teeny dream, right? Especially for a little manufacturer. So Michelle wasn't remotely prepared to be able to manufacture, much less distribute, this kind of quantity of this syrup. But she believed that once she got the contract, she'd figure out how to do it. So this is what Michelle did. Every Monday morning, Michelle picked up the phone and she called Denny's corporate office. And she talked to anyone and everyone who would talk to her. She talked to secretaries, receptionists, procurement, distribution, real estate, everybody. And they all said, sounds great, Michelle. We'll get back to you. They never called her back. But this is what's key, Vic. She believed that Denny's needed her as much as she needed Denny's. Now, how's that for a belief system of a small business owner? And the reason we know that her belief, that was her belief, is because she stayed in action. And she called Denny's corporate office every Monday morning at 10:30 for 2 years. 2 years. And Denny's restructured. They got a new CEO, Jim Adamson. He heard about Michelle just like everybody else. And he said, why aren't we giving this woman a chance? And Michelle won a $3 million contract doing exactly what she believed she could do. So, there, you know, we cannot underestimate or understate the importance of growing your beliefs. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. So the first area is your beliefs. Number two is the behaviors. Are they productive or sabotaging? And you know, it's really fascinating because, again, what I found with most people in my coaching programs, and Vic, I'm sure you've seen this before, is they'll get into this program and they're all enthusiastic. And so they'll say, okay, I'm going to take my business to the next level. I'm going to make 20 prospecting calls a day. And I said, well, how many are you used to making? What's your average? None or one. So what's the probability they're going to go from 0 to 20 consistently? It's probably not going to happen. So what I recommend that they do is start taking an action that you will honor your commitment to yourself. Our commitment to ourselves is probably one of the most important commitments that we can make. Don't you find, Vic, in your life that sometimes showing up for other people and doing things is a whole lot easier than honoring your commitments to yourself?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And so what I've found, and research proves this, is when you want to make a change in your life, it's far better to make it a smaller initial step that you're going to take consistently and be able to do it. So you're creating success imprints. You're sending a message to your subconscious that says, you know what, I can trust myself. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And so in the Unstoppable Challenge, and when I speak at your conference in October, we're going to be going into detail on how do you develop these behaviors. How do you eliminate sabotaging behaviors? And one of the key ways that you do it is you make it something that's doable. Don't set yourself up right from the beginning. I had a woman in one of my coaching programs, and one of the things she wanted to do was meditate. She'd never meditated before, and she said, I want to meditate an hour every day. And so the first week's done, and I looked at her week in review, and she did it like one day. And I said, well, how many days are you meditating right now? None, you know, or one. She did one this last week. I said, why don't you start with 5 minutes? 5 minutes every day. And by the end of the 90 days, she was meditating every day, 30 minutes to an hour. But it started with the baby steps. So our behaviors, one of the most important things that you can do is to create a step that is doable and achievable. And then the third area is to build a structure that literally holds you accountable to show up. Now, you know what's interesting about that? I've had a trainer to go to the gym and do weights. I've had the same trainer for at least 7 years. So it's not like she's giving me new distinctions. I know how to lift weights. The reason I have a trainer is because if I don't have an appointment with her at the gym, I don't want to go. Now, this is something I'm in a habit of doing, but I don't like doing it. So do I make myself wrong for that? Oh, Cynthia, what's wrong with you? By now you should be able to go to the gym. Why are you paying a trainer? It's not a big deal. It's like I look at certain areas in my life. There are certain areas that I love to do. I was going out running, and I enjoy doing that. Now I have to get a running partner because I kind of got tired of running. But, you know, the thing, like, nobody has to pay me to read or study. I love doing that. I don't have to have a partner, but when it comes to other things, that structure can really be magic. So it's very important to create a structure that really will support you in staying in action. So I think I'm going to go into some of the steps of this Unstoppable Challenge. Does that sound good to you?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, and I think a lot of times, you know, that's why I asked everyone to bring a pad and pen, because you really want to write this down, folks, that she's going to give you the keys to the kingdom here. So, yeah,
right.
I'd love to hear the steps.
And then all you have to do is do it.
That's right.
But when you do it, when you set yourself up to win, that's really half of it, you know. So the first step, let's say if you really want to create a breakthrough in your life in 30 days, the first thing I want you to do is identify something that would invigorate your life. I don't want you to come up with a should or a have to or my wife wants me to or my husband or my kids. What do you want? What would excite you? Maybe it's getting your garage cleaned out. Because, you know, sometimes we got to take a step backwards to move forward. Maybe it's getting your life organized. Maybe your files need to get organized. Or your finances. Maybe you want to go to the next level in your career or your finances or into real estate or health and fitness. Whatever it is, I want you to come up with one thing that if that could happen for you, you would be really excited about your life. And so once you identify that, the next step is really to get clear on why. Let me step back for a second on the what, because you need to get really clear. There's power in clarity. Flo Jo, when she ran in the 1988 Olympic Games, she ran the 100-meter dash. And she wrote down in her diary the time she planned on winning and actually breaking the world record. She wrote down 10.49 seconds. Now, I thought that was an interesting number. She didn't say 11 seconds. She didn't say 10 seconds. It was to the 100th of a second. And that would have been a world record. Nobody had ever done it before, but that was her number. So every day she's getting up, she's brushing her teeth on her mirror, 10.49 seconds. She's going to the track, 10.49 seconds. She's going to her job, it's on the dashboard in her car, 10.49 seconds. And Flo Jo, what time do you guess she completed that, Vic?
I don't know.
Pop quiz here. 10.49 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
So there's power in clarity. So many times as I'm coaching people, they'll say, oh, I want to make more money, or I want to have a better relationship with my children, or, you know, I want to be in better shape. It's like, better? What's better? We really need to get very specific and measurable. Even if you want to quantify the relationship with your child, maybe you want to spend more time with the child. And so you could break it down into, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour every day of quality time with them. See what I'm saying? Isn't that more tangible than I just want a better relationship? What does that mean? So it's very important to get clear. So once you know what you want, and then the second is the why. And, you know, these are really basic, but if you don't have these basics, you're not setting a foundation to really make a change in your life. The why is the driver. They say whenever you make any change in your life, 20% is how to do it, but 80% is why you're doing it. And if you can create enough reasons why you want to get into better shape, why you want to make more money, why you want a better relationship with your child, that is the motivation. And, you know, they also say that with the why, it's as important, equally important, when you're looking at all the benefits you'd gain, what else would be possible, how would you feel about yourself, how would that impact other people in your family. So you're seeing all of the benefits. And then as important, it's important for us to really count the cost. What will it cost me to not be excited about my life, to not stand in my greatness, to not bring this message to the world, to not complete my book, to not have a better relationship with my child, to not be healthy? You know, there's a cost. There's a psychological cost. There's a physical cost. There's an opportunity cost. There's a cost. And so I really want to encourage each of you, when you find something you want to do, really look at, you know, why do I want it, and what's it going to cost me if I'm 5 years from now and I'm still where I am today? Is that okay? It wouldn't be okay to me. I'm happy. I love my life. But I wouldn't want to be 5 years where I am today. No way. Would you, Vic?
Oh.
As successful and happy as you are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're all about expansion. You know, it's really, it's such an exciting journey. And I know the people that we're speaking to this evening, I'm preaching to the choir, because everybody on this call, you're all committed to growth. And it's such an exciting way to live. And when we tap into the psychology of how we make change in our life, you know, it's like what Vic said, it's the keys to the kingdom. It really, they're just really distinctions that enable people to move forward, to stop, eliminate that quitting process, or to stay stuck for the rest of your life. And I know that that's not where anybody wants to be. So once we know the what and the why, the third step is the belief. And I mentioned a little bit about that. The belief is so critical, because you can be passionate, you can see the possibility, you're so excited, but if you don't believe it's possible, it's not happening. And there's a really important reason for that. Our belief drives our behavior. So all you have to look, you can say, oh no, I believe I can be really successful in my business. Great. Are you picking up the phone and prospecting? Well, no, I'm still putting a list together, or, you know, whatever. The bottom line, and that's the sabotaging behavior. You're not taking the behavior, you're not taking that step forward, because there's a belief behind it that says, you know what, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to lose. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to fail. And so the pain of that belief stops people. That's really one of the things behind the sabotaging behavior. So it's really, really easy. If you're trying to make a change, all you have to do is look at what your behavior is. And if you're not consistently taking action, I can promise you that you've got some beliefs that aren't supporting you where you want to go. And a couple of questions on identifying beliefs about a goal is, what would be the disadvantage? Let's say you want to, and I use health and fitness because so many people have that goal. Let's say you want to release 20 pounds and you want to be able to become more, exercise more regularly, be healthier. And yet you just can't get yourself to either, let's say you can't get yourself to stick with an eating plan. For everything you're doing, you're trying and it's not happening. One question to ask yourself would be, what would be the disadvantage of me achieving this goal? Because there is an underlying belief that you see there's greater pain. Last night on my Unstoppable Weight Loss Challenge, I asked this woman, she's actually really doing well. She was on my TV show that I did at TSTN.
I saw that.
Oh, you did? Sharon Pate. Anyway, so she was great, and so this has been huge for her. She's never been successful at losing weight. She's lost 23 pounds so far with this Unstoppable Weight Loss Challenge she's doing. And I was asking her, she said she's still struggling with her weight. And we were talking about creating a vision, and she said she was incapable. Up until now, she still has not been able to actually see herself thin. She can't see herself thin. And behind that, she has a fear. If she gets thin, you know, maybe her husband might feel bad. Maybe her husband might be intimidated.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, but these are lots of times they're at an unconscious level. We're not aware. Well, of course I want to lose weight. Of course my husband's going to be supportive. But the question is, you know, if you're not doing it, how can you uncover those beliefs and then modify them? So what's the disadvantage of achieving your goal? What would it cost you? I was speaking to World Financial Group. I've coached a lot of people there, and we were talking I actually went in and spoke after their first 30 days, and we were assessing in this one. We were talking about the disadvantages of them achieving their goal, and this one woman said, oh, if I become a manager, my health is going to be really threatened because I won't have time to eat right, and I won't have time to work out, and my relationship with my son is going to be horrific. I mean, she awfulized it, and I said, what if you come to work here? Do they cram donuts down your throat? Is it written in the employment contract? I mean, she came up with this unbelievably ridiculous belief that if she became successful, she would lose her health. Now, do you see why that would stop somebody from really moving forward? And until we had that conversation and I asked the question, she wasn't even aware. She just couldn't get herself to really take that consistent action. She didn't know why. So once she identified the belief, then we worked on modifying the belief. And they say that if you're going to modify a belief, you should make it at least 50% believable. So, you know, a belief, if I think, oh, my health will fail if I move into a management position, how could you modify that belief at least 50% to be more empowering? Mick?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. You can't be going to sleep on me now. I'm not going to let you do that.
Well, you caught my brain going one way thinking about something you just said, and then I never caught up.
Okay. All right. I'm just playing with you. Anyway, so what you would do, so if you think the belief is, oh, my goodness, if I go to the next level, if I become a manager in this business, I'm going to lose my health. So the question you would ask yourself is, all right, I know that I can manage my eating, I can still get in my workout plan. If I'm committed to doing this, I won't compromise my health. I mean, that's one belief. That's a modification, right? Instead of, oh, I could be like, you know, I'm going to be ready to run a marathon, plus I'm going to become a manager. Well, you're never going to believe that. But you have to modify it in a way that feels believable. So, okay, you know, they're not making me eat something bad. I have control over my eating. I can plan this. I can work this out so that I can still get what I want and have a healthy body. Do you see the difference? And then you go, oh, okay, that feels doable. That feels empowering. So it's just those little teeny modifications that we have to dispute our beliefs. It's really important. And you know what's fascinating when you talk about a belief is we have enough evidence in our life to prove anything. I know I've got enough evidence to prove I am so disciplined and really an amazing person at getting up focus. I mean, when I get focused, boy, I can really crank things out. And then I also have other evidence. There have been times where I've been so flaky, I didn't even recognize myself. Like, who is that woman? And so we all have those experiences. So it's there. What evidence do we want to use to prove to ourselves? And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, you know, James Allen says, and As a Man Thinketh, that mm-hmm. belief precedes all action. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
What you're saying is that one of the reasons we're stuck, one of the reasons we can't take the action is because of the beliefs. So what are some things that you, I mean, evidence is certainly, getting the evidence is certainly a very powerful tool to create some belief. But mm-hmm. what do you do? Personally, what do you
yeah.
do? You said your belief is continuing to grow. What do you do to grow your belief?
Well, there's two things. Number one is the question is what is the most empowering belief that I can choose right now? Not what's the most positive or it's what's the most empowering. So let's say I don't know. I mean, there's so many. Which do I pick? But let's say somebody was going to give me a show on NBC. All right, let's go with that one. And they're going to say, okay, Cynthia, we want you to interview for this show, and it's going to be NBC, it's going to be really big, and why don't you come in and interview? Okay, so I might think, oh, okay, well, gee, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I've had this before. I've interviewed for different shows before. And like this one said it was for I don't remember, it was life coach, but in some other kind of foo-foo area. And I was thinking, oh, I don't know. That doesn't, you know, that I'm not really in that area. I'm more performance and productivity. So I'm already cutting myself out before I even go show up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm already talking myself, oh, no, I don't really think I'm out of it. And by the way, women have more of a propensity to do that than men. Women, until we do it, you could have a PhD. They had recruiters who worked with women. You know, they have a resume 10 miles long with all these accomplishments. And if they didn't do that exact same same thing that was in the job description, they would say, oh, no, I couldn't do it. And yet men have an ability to say, oh, I could do that. They don't discriminate themselves like that. But so that was exactly what I was doing. And I thought, stop. is like, you know, Cynthia, you know, you could do this, and if it's meant to be, you'll get it, and if it's not, you won't. But if you don't do it, you're never going to know. And essentially, I'm saying no. I feel like any opportunity is one that God brings into my life. So what, I'm going to say no to God? So that's kind of how I do it. I just talk to myself, and I just make it mean, you know what, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and I'm going to go out there and do it, give it my best shot, and you never know, instead of completely talking myself out of it before I even do it. Another process that I do, and I teach this in my coaching program that we're going to talk about this in October as well, is it's something that was developed by Albert Ellis, who's the father of cognitive therapy, and he's one of the leading psychologists of the 20th century. And I call it raising your unstoppability quotient. And what is an unstoppability quotient? An unstoppability quotient is the extent to which we bounce back from adversity. And the faster we bounce back, the higher our adversity quotient. So for example, and I mentioned this at the top of the call. So let's say, let's just use the TV example because it's a good one. So let's say they said, okay, Cynthia, I want to interview you for this show. And I say, okay, great. So I go in and I interview, and, they don't call me back. Well, that wouldn't be hugely triggering an event for me, but it could be, right? Let's say I really wanted it. Okay, so let's say it was something, I finally got this opportunity, or let's say it's like a big speaking opportunity, I'm so excited and they're thinking about me. And then for whatever reason, they book somebody else. So that could be a triggering event. Anytime you want something, maybe you're out there selling and you call somebody and you're rejected, they say no. So that's A, the adversity is a triggering event. The next step is B, and these are the A, B, C, D, E. B is the belief. It's how do I interpret this? What do I make it mean? Why did this happen and what do I make this mean? So for me, let's say that I didn't get booked. I could say, these are all A speakers and, you know, they're only looking for that and I'm not that or whatever, you know, whatever I could make up in that moment. And then the consequence behaviorally or emotionally would be what?
That I would justify if I didn't get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be feeling very good. Am I going to be feeling good with that kind of conversation going on in my mind?
Right.
No, absolutely not. And look at it. It's even like, you know, The Secret. I remember I've talked to some people who weren't in The Secret. And it's like, there are a lot of leading experts that weren't in The Secret. You know, are they going around moping about that? You know, I don't think so. But it's like, how do people hold that in their mind? It's what are they making that mean? I just feel like, you know, I'm grateful for, I'm so happy for how that has really made a huge difference in a lot of people's careers, right?
Yeah.
Versus, and I've, you know, heard a couple people and they're unhappy that they weren't in it. So it's kind of like, how do you hold it? Are you going to be in gratitude? Are you going to make it mean there's something wrong with you because you didn't get it or somebody rejected you? So this is really, really important. So that's the quitting process. You want something. Something happens that you interpret as game over, and then you quit, or at minimum, you're discouraged. So the next step is you have to dispute the belief. You have to dispute the belief. And like I said, I do this all day long. So you go, all right, they didn't book me. All right, you know, some will. So what next? It's okay. It's like I it's a very fast process for me. I do this so often. I rarely will go into any kind of a mental conversation about how I'm less than if somebody doesn't book me or this. I just don't even go there because I'm so aware of it quickly. But believe me, and I know it doesn't serve me. And for anybody, it isn't worth 1 second of our time if you're out there sharing your business, sharing a project, sharing something that's important to you, and somebody says no, it doesn't matter. It's a numbers game, and it doesn't serve you. If beating yourself up was an effective strategy, trust me, I would be like the all-time achiever. It doesn't work. All it does is create pain and suffering. So I recommend you drop that as soon as possible. It just
Cynthia,
doesn't work.
Cynthia, share for a minute, because you know I know that when you wrote the book, or just before you wrote the book, I believe,
mm-hmm.
well, I understand it. You worked in corporate America.
Right.
And so, you know, you've gone a long ways down your path since that point in time.
Right.
So you've now trained yourself. You literally
yes.
trained yourself to have the response that you have. That you weren't born that way.
Absolutely, and I'm always working at it. So it's not like the thoughts don't come in my mind, but I'm quicker at processing it.
And that's what I want everybody who's listening to this to understand.
Yeah.
She dealt with the same exact thing that you're dealing with right now. If you're dealing with this,
mm-hmm.
she's just trained herself to move past it very quickly, instead of spending a week or a month
right.
living at the bottom.
Yeah,
she might spend a minute or a couple of minutes, and she's done moved past it.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's a really significant issue, it might be a little longer than a minute or two. But the point is, I don't know that I've mastered it down to the, you know, the seconds here.
Okay.
Really, but you know, but the point is that in certain categories, I don't go there because it's like I'll feel it. You know, we feel it in our bodies. It's like, oh gosh, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, something must be wrong with me. And this is in our human collective consciousness. Everybody has thoughts like that.
Right.
But the question is, what do we do with those thoughts? And if we want to focus on that and make it that there's something wrong with us, we can do it. We're going to be miserable, and it's going to take a long time to dig out of the hole. When I quit my job, cashed in my entire life savings to write my book. So, you know, when you're an unpublished author, you really are the lowest of the lows in the publishing industry. Nobody takes you serious. And so I'm rejected by agents. I was rejected by publishers. I was rejected by people I wanted to interview for the book.
Yeah.
And so, and even now, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Vic, it's not like the red carpet is just rolled out. It's not, that's not how it works. But what I've found is that it really, you know, who I've become in this process has been my greatest gift. It's the truth. It's being able to love and be grateful and to share this information and make a difference. It's like, you know, whether I sell 5 million books or 1 million books or 20 million books is irrelevant. And who loves me and who doesn't love me? It's not even about that. It's, you know, but honestly, that's really where the work is. And Bob and I were talking about this last night, is when you're in a situation where you want to make a change and where you want to go looks completely different than where you are right now, that's the work in holding that vision and not engaging in an internal conversation where you're the prosecutor, you know, you're the big prosecutor. I look at it like I'm going to become my advocate. And let me tell you, I've done a lot of work on this, and I still continue to do it at the deepest level of self-loving and self-acceptance. And that's really what we're talking about.
Sure.
And
well, I know you tonight you've really, you know, shared a tremendous amount. I mean, there's some real gems there, folks, that I hope you took down, and I hope you'll go back. We're gonna post this call within the next 24 hours. So I hope you'll download it, go back and listen to some of what she shared with you, because there are some things in there that you can put into play right now. You don't have to wait. You can put into play right now. And I know, Cynthia, that you are going to really expand on this in October, but also know that you've got other resources in the Unstoppable Challenge area. Do you want to share a couple of those with us before we open it up and take some questions?
Sure, absolutely. You know, this work is so powerful, and I just want to briefly share, as I even mentioned, that people have gone into the weight loss program or people wanted to double their business or grow their business. I mean, I had a woman, she did the Unstoppable Challenge, which is essentially, it's a 16-week program. It's 3 30-day programs where you get clear on what is that goal, what is that one step, you get a partner, we have a weekly team call, you turn in a week in review. It's just this beautiful structure that supports you. and making a change in your life. It's like, how would it be if you had a trainer at the gym? Would you have a higher probability of showing up? That's exactly what we're talking about here. And actually, you know, studies show that the number one way to change behavior is through coaching and group support. So that's why I've put this together. But this one woman, she said she nearly doubled her sales doubled her recruits and sales, her team sales, and her personal sales increased 1,000%. And I mean, I could go on. This one woman, she had her own business. She said that she had the biggest month in sales since she started her business 3 years ago. And it's not magic, but it really is a process of making a commitment. And then this is a learning laboratory. You get into action and you notice these sabotaging behaviors come up. You notice these beliefs, but maybe you're not, you know, in the past you didn't have any support structure or somebody who could guide you through this. So if you're in a situation in your life right now where you're looking for some support, you've got something you want to do, or maybe you want to figure out what it is that excites you, give my office a call and we'll let you know what we do and see if it's a fit for you. And our number is 888-UNSTOPPABLE, 888-867-8677.
That's easy.
It is.
That's easy. 888-UNSTOPPABLE. Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do, guys. Who is this?
Jacqueline from Toronto.
Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Hi. I really want to thank you for saying those words. It was definitely very helpful, for sure. I just had, actually, before I even knew that something like this was going to be coming I created a little affirmation myself that power in unity is, you know, of the like mind. So the power of unity of the like mind is unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to myself. I have it on my desk at work. You know, I memorize it. And I kind of live by, you know, the company that I keep to raise my elevation. Like, I'm starting my own business. So I find people that who are like-minded like myself, and that keeps me going. Because
yeah, that's very smart, Jacqueline. Good for you, and I love your quote.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you very much.
Who else has a question for Cynthia?
Hi, William from Indiana.
Go ahead, William.
My question is on the changing beliefs thing. You were talking about like getting a belief that was like 50% believable.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, if you've got something, you know, if you believe very negative about yourself, how do you determine, you know, I'd like to know more about creating beliefs that, you know, more positive beliefs or undermining the negative beliefs.
It's a great question, William. So can you give me an example of a belief about yourself that you just know to be true, but it's not serving you?
Okay, well, there's a very simple one. The father would say, you know, when I was a kid, over and over again, you'll never be rich.
Right. Okay, good. That's a good one.
And so, you know, so I am poor, and I continue to be poor, and I'm 41 years old, and I'm tired of being poor.
Okay, excellent. I love that example. I'm sure a lot of people on the call can relate to that. So let's work with this belief. What about... do you believe that it's possible to learn from other people how you could increase your income?
Somewhat.
Somewhat? So do you believe, is it possible for you to make more money than you're making right now?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So you know it's possible to make more money. Well, what do you think you would need to do to make more money?
I would have to meet the right people and get into a business of my own where I am actually, you know, making money for myself and not, you know, working for somebody else.
Okay, good. So, and do you see yourself as running your own business?
Yes.
Well, see, you're already doing good. So what you want to do is you want to modify the belief, because basically your belief is that if you're running your own business, you're going to be making more money than you're making right now, correct?
Right.
Okay, good. So what if the belief can be, you know what? I know I'm going to find the right business And that's going to continue to increase my income. And I'm going to attract the people, the resources, the opportunities to be able to create financial independence for myself. How does that feel?
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad? Is it 50% believable? Because basically, you know, the key thing is you want to move out from where you are right now, because the belief is, I can't be rich. I'll never be rich.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty strong statement. So you got to start moving off of the belief.
Right.
So the idea is, you know what? I know I've got the resources. There are people out there that can teach you how to make money.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Vic's got all sorts of people are coming in October that are going to teach you how to do that. And he's got all sorts of programs, and we do the same thing with the coaching program. It's a process. It's not a mystery. It's really getting clear on what you want, getting a really clear plan in place, starting with the end in mind, breaking it down, and then overcoming the beliefs and behaviors and structure that you need to get into action. It's not really that complicated. So maybe the belief is, you know what? I am open. I'm open to finding a business that will enable me to create financial independence. And if financial independence is too big of a word, it can be to increase my income by 10%, 15%, 20%. Start there.
Okay.
William, why did your father tell you that?
I think that all the negative things that he told me were the things that his parents told him, and he believes them all for himself. So,
But I mean, did he tell you that because he said you were lazy? Did he tell you that because you didn't study in school? Why did he tell you that, or did he tell everybody that?
Yeah, he tells everybody that.
Okay, so it's not just focused on you,
right?
Okay, well, you know, Cynthia talked about evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, earlier in the call. So since he didn't focus on you, it has nothing at all to do with your, you know, with your qualifications or with what you have or anything of the matter. So what you have to do is you got to go study the evidence, and the evidence is there's no difference between you. I mean, you can find people with your level of education, whatever that may be. Maybe none, or you may have two PhDs and everything in between. You can find someone with your level of education. You can find someone at your age. You can find someone meeting every characteristic you have. Any handicap you think you have, you can find someone who's overcome that handicap to be rich.
Right.
So go find the evidence. Go find the evidence, and then start with what Cynthia says, is believe what you can believe at the level you can believe it, but believe something.
Right.
It's different than what you're believing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know.
But if it's not anything he, you know, sometimes our parents not really wanting to hurt us, but just for whatever misguided reasons may criticize us because we don't study or whatever, and may make comments to us. Our teachers may do that. Our peers may do that. We adopt that as a belief, which we carry forward. But in this case, since you realize, which you know the truth, you just told everyone on the call the truth. The truth is he didn't pick on you. He didn't pick you out. He said that to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is he a financial genius? Is he a financial master? What qualifies him to say that, in other words?
Right.
You know, so what is the truth? I mean, a lot of times what, you know, we're living, you know, the times in my life when I've struggled with my belief, it's because I was living a lie. I was living in the lie and not in the truth.
Right. Exactly. Well, also, I don't know if you've read Unstoppable, but it's got, you know, it's filled. That's the power, and that's why I think these Unstoppable stories are so inspiring, because every single story, it's proof of what's possible. It's like we think our life is challenging. These people, their lives were 10 times more challenging, and yet they prevailed. And see, what happens is because they did it, you can start believing, well, maybe it's possible for me too.
William, have you ever read that book?
I've not read Unstoppable. I have read a lot of positive thinking stuff, but I have not read
that. Okay, well, here's what I encourage you to do. Go to unstoppable.net and order that book. and read one chapter a night. This is what I did. Read one chapter a night. Do not go to bed at night until you read the chapter, and read it the last thing before you go to bed, because you want your subconscious to work on what you read. You know how you ever watched a movie at night, a scary movie, you go to bed, you have nightmares?
Yeah.
That's your subconscious working on the movie.
Right.
Put something in your subconscious that you really want it to work on, and you'll be amazed at what you wake up with. Read one chapter a night of her book. That's what I did. It's remarkable and amazing what that will do for you in terms of your belief.
And then email us, William. We want to hear.
Okay.
I want to hear how you're doing.
Alrighty.
All right. Thanks, William.
Time for one more question. Who's next?
Cynthia, it's Chris from Jersey.
Go ahead, New Jersey.
How you doing? You're talking to us about making smaller, believable steps.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm going to increase my sales 100%,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to increase them 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're, from listening to you, you're a student of Bob Proctor's. And Bob was on a call with us last year where he talked about A-level, B-level, and C-level goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he stressed the point that the motivation, the drive behind any goal is that it's got to be a whopper.
Right.
It's got to be big. So where do we draw the balance between something that's believable and something that's big?
Well, the distinction, it's a very good question. The distinction, I'm not saying don't have a big goal, but when you're breaking it down into the steps, so let's say you want, the goal is you want to increase your income 100%. I mean, we're doing a program right now with Bob, turn your annual income into your monthly income. That's a big, huge goal. But what you got to do is you got to break it down into what's my first 30-day goal? And what am I doing? You got to get yourself into some momentum. It would be like saying, I'm going to do an Ironman in 90 days. What, would that inspire me? Yes, it would. Of course, I can't run around the block, but it inspires me. See what I'm saying? Like when I ran a marathon, I wasn't running. So my first, when I started training, I trained for 4 months. I walked 3 minutes, I walked 4 minutes, ran 1 minute. And then I walked 3 minutes, ran 1 minute. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's really the goal. You're right. Dream big. But when you break it down into the action steps and your commitments, commit to something that's a non-negotiable. Because what happens is, how many times have you had a big, huge goal? It's so inspiring, but the action step is so overwhelming that you never actually do it. So does that distinction make sense for you?
Sure, yes.
Okay, cool. Great question.
Like the best way to eat an elephant, Chris, is one bite at a time.
Exactly. One bite at a time, right?
Those tusks can be
goal,
a little tough.
Big goal, but you can't do it in one mouthful. So.
Right.
One more. Let's take one more. Who's next?
Cynthia?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Honey.
Hi, Honey.
Hey, Honey.
And, oh, my goodness, I just want to tell you, you resonate with passion.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I have never heard you speak before. I've read Unstoppable, but something clicked in me tonight that is just absolutely amazing. When you're talking about your fears of your belief and so forth, I've been divorced now for 11 years and I lost weight and that gave me power and it ended up, I got divorced.
Mm.
Well, now I'm remarried, I'm happily remarried, and it's like a hidden fear, if I lose weight again,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, I mean, and it's just like, yeah, some people, it might be silly, but to me, it resonated as a fear tonight.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, and it's just like, so I'm holding on to this safety net of blubber.
Right.
And, and it's like, what am I thinking?
Well, first off, honey, I acknowledge you for the awareness, because just the awareness enables you to start shifting it. Mm-hmm. So because it was probably, you know, operating on an unconscious level for you. So now it's really just starting to dispute that. Is that really true if I lose weight X?
Mm-hmm.
Is that really true? Am I really safer holding on to this? And really, really disputing it and looking at what's true and not just what happened in the past and using that as evidence that that'll happen in the future.
Yeah, because he was, you know, my ex was one that, oh, you know, you don't gain weight. And he was just, you know, almost like a tyrant if you gained
mm-hmm.
any weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like I fought weight all my life. And then once I did it, I said bye-bye to him.
Right. Right. But did it really have anything to do with the weight?
No,
yeah,
it didn't.
Right.
Of course it didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have that sabotaging type behavior. It's why
mm-hmm.
some people don't earn any more money than they do.
Right.
It's why the wife who has the ability and the gift doesn't, because she's afraid if she earns more than her husband that you know, he'll divorce her. Or it's if we earn too much money, we won't have our friends will leave us. We won't
right.
have the friends we have. There's all kinds of reasons. All self-sabotaging behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That you got to start living in the truth first.
Yeah.
Well, Cynthia, I got to tell you, dear, you just phenomenal job.
Thank you.
I am so excited that we recorded this. The recording is going to be so valuable. And so remember, unstoppable.net. And if you don't have that book, go get that book. We use it in the Champions Club. It's a book of the month in the Champions Club. I know Honey has read the book because she's in the Champions Club. And it's in there for a reason. It was a tool and a resource that was extremely valuable to me, and that's why it's in the Champions Club. I would encourage you to go get that book, read a chapter every night, and see what happens in your life over the next 30 days. Call 1-888-UNSTOPPABLE and talk to one of the coaches or Cynthia and find out if there's a program for you. And everyone, as we sign off here, tell Cynthia how much you appreciate her. And
very
how
much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Great
job.
Thank you.